Deborah Nelson.
Thank you. So I want to spend my time today talking about a project that we have ongoing in Philadelphia. And this is a subset of that project where we're really looking at the influence of exposures during childhood, so childhood physical or childhood sexual violence, and how experiencing those violence factors during childhood impact on later health behaviors. So I have no relationships to disclose. And we know that exposure to childhood physical and sexual violence is prevalent among young urban women. In the literature, about 20% of young urban women report experiencing either childhood sexual violence or childhood physical violence. And that childhood violence has been linked to numerous negative health behaviors and outcomes. There has been other studies that have looked at how exposures during childhood have been related to substance abuse. So we're looking at that in addition to some other indicators of mental health outcomes. And the study, this assessment was designed to examine the role of childhood exposures to violence and then later health outcomes among a subset of young urban women. The data for this project comes from the Young Women's Health Study, which is funded from the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. And the study actually was designed to look at the main objective of examining the relationship between violence, resiliency factors, and inconsistent contraception use among sexually active, non-pregnant young urban women. So as part of this study, we did collect measures to examine contraception use, the type of contraception use, and the consistency of use as a proxy to identify the risk of unintended pregnancy. But we also collected a lot of other information, which I wanted to talk about in the talk today. So we collected information on childhood violence and adult violence, and we had kind of a novel method of collecting this very sensitive information, which I'll talk about in a second. And we also obtained detailed information on current substance use, which allowed us the secondary analyses. So as part of the Women's Health Study, we enrolled 351 young urban women during the 2013, and these were women that were coming to urban family planning clinics. These women, their eligibility criteria is they need to be non-pregnant, they need to be sexually active with a man, aged 18 to 30 years of age, but you'll see that our age group is around 20, so a little bit older than the group that you were speaking about, but still young women. And the women eligible for the study were women that resided in North Philadelphia zip codes. And North Philadelphia is a fairly impoverished part of Philadelphia. And we were most interested in looking at this group because this is the pockets of the city that have the highest rates of inconsistent contraception use, high rates of STIs, high rates of unintended pregnancy, as well as high rates of substance use among adolescents and young women. So in these family planning clinics, we had research coordinators who approached each woman that came in for her visit, described the purpose of this study, screened each woman for study eligibility, obtained informed consent if women were interested in participating and eligible. Now, the wait time in these clinics was almost an hour, so we were able to consent and complete the questionnaire before these young women saw their providers. And we collected information in this novel manner. You see from the photograph here that we had we didn't administer the questionnaire by interviewers. We had the questionnaire was on a tablet, so that people could read the questions, answer the questions themselves. We also had the entire questionnaire audio taped, so each participant could put a headset on, and the questions could be read to them. If their reading literacy was low, they could have the questions read to them and select the answer that was most appropriate. So we felt that this was kind of a novel method to collect some of this very sensitive information in terms of childhood sexual abuse, current substance use, some of the measures we have about resiliency, look at social support, self-esteem measures. So some of these factors are fairly sensitive. So we felt that this was a good method for us to get accurate information that wasn't biased by administering the questionnaire using an interviewer. So from this baseline interview on this tablet, we collected information on demographic factors, on self-reported current substance use, on current and past violence measures, in particular for this talk, reports on childhood sexual violence and childhood physical violence, We had a nice measure of community-level violence, so a measure of how safe they feel in their community, how much disorder they feel is present in their community, how much crime and how much personal victimization they've experienced in their community. And we also, on these tablets at baseline when the women were in the clinic, collected information on these resiliency factors, self-esteem measures, depressive symptoms, social provisions, which is a measurement of social support. So the baseline interview, again, had this audio computer-assisted survey instrument called the CASI. Here's the version that we use, 5.5. Allows us this software that collects sensitive survey data. We actually also hired a young woman from the community to read the questions so that when the woman heard the questions from the interview, it was a familiar voice. It was another young woman reading these questions to her as she completed the survey on the tablet. So we didn't have the research coordinators administer the questionnaire. They really just described the study, obtained informed consent, and walked the woman through the process of completing the survey on the tablet. So I for the talk here, I split out looking at childhood physical violence, and then I'll have some other slides where we're looking at women that experience childhood sexual violence. So I just wanted to give you the question that we used. So on this tablet, we asked women, how often before you were 16 were you slapped, pushed, hit, punched, or beat up by someone you know or by a stranger? And we asked them to pick one, whether it was never, once or twice, sometimes, often, or very often. And we coded this questionnaire dichotomously. So we're comparing people that responded never to people that responded once, twice, or a higher frequency. And again, we looked at the demographic factors. So this is comparing women that reported at least one episode of childhood physical abuse compared to women that reported no childhood physical abuse. And we looked at some demographic factors. You can see there's no difference, statistical difference between these two groups. I'll have stars when there's differences. But just to give you an idea of the population, so the average age was about 22 years. About 80% of the group was African American, and about 50% of our population had a high school or high school graduates. And those demographic factors were similar between the women reporting episodes of childhood physical abuse, yes or no. We looked at some violence factors, so we wanted to understand whether women that had experienced childhood physical violence had a higher risk of reporting of violence in their adult life, and we actually found that all these things were statistically different between the groups. So if you look on the far right column here, you can see that women that reported episodes of childhood physical abuse were almost 9 times more likely to experience adult physical violence. And women reporting at least one episode of childhood physical violence were also over 4 times more likely to report adult sexual violence. So violence in future life is fairly prevalent among women that are reporting episodes of childhood physical violence. We looked at some resiliency factors too. So we found that women reporting childhood physical violence had lower levels of self-esteem, also had lower reports of social report in their social networks. And for this talk, what we were most interested in looking at how experiencing childhood physical violence influenced their substance use. And from this slide, you can see that although women experiencing childhood physical violence were more likely to report that they were problem drinkers or marijuana users, that was not statistically significant between the two groups. The big finding that was different is that women that reported childhood physical violence were over 2 times more likely to report smoking cigarettes in the past year. The problem drinking assessment is this, I think it's a 5-item scale. It's called the TWEAK. It looks at their perceptions of needing alcohol when they first get up, their reports of people in their family saying that they are having doing things that they don't remember. So these are assessments of substance use in the past year, and smoking cigarettes seems to be most related to childhood physical violence. We also wanted to look at, again, slicing in a different way, looking at the women that reported on this baseline tablet that they had experienced some degree of childhood sexual violence. So the question that was included in the tablet was, before you were 16 years old, how often did anyone ever force you to have sex? And women could answer one of these responses of never, once or twice, sometimes, often, or very often. Again, we dichotomize that. We compare women that reported no sexual violence to women that reported any sexual violence. Just preparing for the talk today, I was thinking maybe we should look at this group here, actually, to see if there's differences among the magnitude of sexual violence and even physical violence that women experience in their childhood. But at least for this talk, we dichotomize this measure. The same series of assessments where we looked at demographic factors between these groups, and we really didn't find any differences. So similar demographic profile, 20 years of age, majority African American, high school graduation about 50%, no differences between the two groups. Again, we looked at violence factors, again comparing women that had reported childhood sexual abuse, yes or no. And we found again that women that are reporting childhood sexual abuse are reporting lots of violence in their current life, and actually a little bit more violence than the group that just reported childhood physical violence. So from this slide, you can see that that women reporting childhood sexual violence are 15 times more likely to report adult sexual violence. Almost five times more likely to report current violence. So lots of current and sexual violence in adulthood among young women reporting childhood sexual violence. Then we wanted to look at resiliency factors again. So this again is comparing women reporting childhood sexual violence to women not reporting childhood sexual violence, and all these resiliency factors are lower in women reporting childhood sexual violence. So women reporting childhood sexual violence have lower self-esteem, have more current depressive symptoms, and have lower values of social provisions, although that was not statistically significant. And then when we looked at substance abuse, again, we found similar findings where the woman reporting childhood sexual violence reported more smoking cigarettes in the past year and also more marijuana use in the past year. So we have this group of women that we know that there's a lot going on, right? So they are experiencing childhood physical and sexual violence. They have lower resiliency now. They have higher rates of reporting current violence, and there's some differences in substance use reporting. So we wanted to sort of adjust for these differences in these two groups. So we looked at, this is the model predicting cigarette use, since we're sort of interested in understanding how childhood exposures influence substance use. So we're predicting who's most likely to report smoking cigarettes in the past year. And we put in some of these findings from the previous slides that were significantly related to childhood sexual violence. And we see that childhood sexual violence is still coming up. So we recognize that women have lower self-esteem, may have more depressive symptoms, have more violence going on, but even when we adjust for that relationship, we're still finding this independent relationship between experiencing childhood sexual violence and the report of cigarette use in the past year. So sexual violence was related to cigarette use significantly. Women that have lower levels of education are also more likely to report current cigarette use, and women that have low self-esteem are also more likely to report cigarette use. And it was interesting for us that we found that even when we put some of these resiliency factors in there and kind of adjusted for them when we looked at the relationship between childhood sexual violence and smoking use, childhood sexual violence still came out as a significant predictor. A similar assessment now where we're looking again at the predictors of cigarette use. Now we're looking at this exposure of childhood physical violence. Again, putting those other factors that were related to reporting of violence in childhood. And we found that women experiencing childhood physical violence were almost twice as likely to report current cigarette use. And that was significant when we adjusted for some of these other independent factors, sort of same other factors related to cigarette use in terms of lower levels of self-esteem, lower education, also involved with reporting cigarette use in the past year. So to kind of wrap up some of these findings, we did find that young women reporting sexual violence and physical violence in childhood did report more cigarette use. We found some findings of marijuana use, When we adjusted for the factors, it no longer became significant. Actually, marijuana use, at least in our population, was most linked to some of these resiliency factors in terms of lower self-esteem. Higher depression was the big predictors of marijuana use in our group. But for cigarette use, we found that some of these violence factors did significantly predict cigarette use in the past year, independent of resiliency factors and also current violence. So we need to recognize that these young women that are experiencing these physical and sexual exposures during childhood are more likely to use cigarettes, also more likely to report lower resiliency, so lower levels of self-esteem, higher levels of depressive symptoms. And this relationship between childhood exposures and resiliency was highest, really, among these women reporting childhood sexual violence. So when we think about what to do about that, you know, we need to, you know, recognize the importance of integrating substance abuse prevention into support services for these young women who have experienced childhood exposures to violence, either physical or sexual, and that future interventions to try to reduce marijuana use and cigarette use among young women should recognize that there may be prior exposures in childhood that are contributing to the higher amount of substance use in the population. And then also started to think about promoting healthy coping mechanisms, because women that are experiencing this violence in their childhood need to establish some coping mechanisms to help them with some of the resiliency factors that are contributing to their mental health outcomes and mental health status, as well as, you know, healthier coping mechanisms than the substance use that we report here.